We have been studying the book of Job over the last 1.5 years or so. And we are here at chapter 39 with God now speaking for the first time. You recall when Job faced the greatest calamity of his life. He was at the brink of collapse. But God was with him as he submitted and committed himself to God, God's care in the time of his affliction. There were three friends that came to him who were to comfort him, but they were miserable comforters. He was very much tormented by their affront against him, questioning his devotion and piety toward God, and that accusing Job that he was an impious man, a great sinner, and therefore God is coming after him as a result of his great transgression. And in the midst of the torment that came from his friends, there came another fourth person called Elihu. And Elihu spoke to mitigate and prepare the way for God himself to speak. He was to stand there to disapprove, as it were, of the lambasting that came from Job's friends upon him, and to comfort him and to assure him, at the same time admonish Job during the time of his distress. He was at the brink of collapse, and at that time he asked many questions. Can I be cut off now so that I will not have to suffer? He was in the darkness of his despair. And in those times, it was Elihu who pointed out to him, and for us too, believers who face affliction, perhaps not because of anything that we have done that has transgressed the great law of God, but that it was a trial of faith that comes to us. That it is in those times that we need to rest in the Lord, that God knows what He's doing. His care for us is most complete, and He sovereignly undertakes in His own majestic way to show us His great glory in our lives. And then you see the transition from Elihu, in which Job was totally silenced, no more response, whereas earlier with the three friends there were many discourses as Job defended his integrity. Then finally God spoke. And what did God say to Job? God said to Job that He's the creator and sustainer of all things. And He demonstrated how He cares for His creation. He mentioned many things. And we would see here in our text concerning the hawk and the eagle. God brought Job through a tour of his creation. Over the last weeks, we have gone through how God told Job. He laid the foundation for this earth. How he placed the stars in the skies, the magnificent stars. And together with the sea and the sea creatures, and how he is the one who is superintending over the chaotic sea that seems so formidable to man. You recall Jesus when he was upon earth and there was a storm when he was sailing in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he rebuked the wind and the wind stopped. Well, he's the master over all this, the wind, the thunder, the clouds, the water, all from him. And we also see here for the first time, and the book of Job is the first book of the Bible, first book written before the book of Genesis. And how here it gives a picture to help men face the reality of the challenges of life that comes to us. Understanding that God has an underlying purpose in our lives, giving us trials and afflictions to test our faith, to draw us closer to Him, to help us to see His glory. After this, we are at chapter 39. God is going to change everything. He's going to be fully restored. Everything that he has lost, God will double up for him. Even the 10 children whom he has lost. Right, we said he didn't lose any of the 10 because the 10 is with God. God gave him another 10. The rest of his possessions, God doubled. He stayed with God during the time of trial. And so God wants to send a message to Job to help him to learn how to be still before God during the times of his afflictions. You see, God will not give us something that we cannot take. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptations taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That it seemed the whole world will collapse before you, but the whole world is not collapsing. God is saying to us, I'm upholding all of it. And so he came to speak about nature, the birds in the air, to help us to see how God is the one who designed them, cared for them, give them with the wherewithal for life. So you see here that God was the one who, by his life-giving power, bring birth to the mountain goats, the wild asses, to the wild oxen. This is what we saw over the last few weeks. But for the birds of prey, There are about 400 species divided into day creatures and night creatures. 2/3 of them are the day creatures, the hawks, the eagles, the falcons, the vultures are diurnal, going about their business between sunrise and sunset. And the other third, the owl, mainly night hunters. This is a picture of a hawk. Strong wings built for the world of air. Birds that fly from the tiniest hummingbird to the largest albatross here, the hawk. How are they able to fly? Because they are made, as we have studied to learn, with skeletons that are light and strong, muscles that are powerful and not a burden, feathers that conserve heart, heat, and providing lift and propulsion and sharpest eyes in the entire animal kingdom. This is what Job said. How in verse 29, the eagle seeth its prey. Yes, God has given them such sharp eyes, they are able to detect their prey. And so look at the eye of the hawk there. It's red in color. You notice? It's a very powerful set of eyes that would enable it to identify its prey from afar off. So God wants us to see how He designed the various types of animals, the various types of birds in the air. You know, God made them, how beautiful they are. I recall while praying before the camp would begin, there was a day when there was a torrential rain. A torrential rain, heavy rain. And that was a day when the figures were very high. But the rain came and it stopped suddenly also. As fast as it came, the rain stopped. The sun came out, shining brightly. The next day, the numbers dropped. I saw a bird, blue in color, after the rain, flying, red tail, beautiful. How God takes care of His creation. How God superintends over all things as we commit our lives, ourselves into His care. We know that He takes care of us. We know that He is able. And He knows more than we do. And so you see here, Job describes for us the hawk. God imparted wisdom. God imparted wisdom of the hawk. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom? How does the hawk know how to fly? Look at the hawk. How it soars in the sky. How is it able to do so? Well, we see that God is the one who designs it. And You know, we are the only ones who are able to appreciate the animal kingdom, the birds that fly in the air, right? God gives us a heightened intellect, a mind to think, a mind to reason, a mind to appreciate His creation. So we study and we look and we admire and we learn how marvelous and great is this God who has created all these things. So Job was brought on a tour of God's creation. You want to know the truth and learn the truth? Go to the creation of God. Go for a walk. Look at the plants. I forgot to put one picture of a leaf. Maybe later we'll put it up for you, or put it up for you tomorrow. A leaf that has red spots on it. Someone said pimples. How does a leaf have a red spots on the leaf? Like glue, you know. And it grows on the leaf. How amazing it is. How varied is the creation. And it points to the wisdom of the Creator. And so God said to Job in verse 26, "Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom? Who gave the hawk wings? Her wings toward the south, how is it that it is able to move and plan to fly in that way?" The hawk, Matthew Henry says, of great strength and sagacity, of wisdom, yet a bird of prey. This bird is here taken notice of for her flight. How it is swift and strong, especially the course she steers towards the south. She follows the sun in winter out of the colder countries in the north. So it's guided. How does the bird survive? How does it thrive? Somehow it has certain built-in instincts and wisdom that God has placed in the birds. And so as we observe creation, we observe the things around us, it points us to the truth concerning our Creator. How God cares for these birds. How does the hawk and the eagle get its prey? Oh, this is a picture of a hawk. It's called a young red-tailed hawk. And it sighted a prey, a possum. Later we'll see the picture. So it's there, looking intently, as our text tells us, ready to make the plunge. At a time on a favorite roost, searching for movements that could mean a meal. And so, you see that animal there, it's right here, not so clear. So, from there, it was able to fly and make a fluff. So, it's observed that they learn also, by their God-given instincts, to hunt. God gave them the eyes. They will also have to learn the kind of prey that they are able to tackle, the kind of prey that would be food for them. And so this hawk has spotted its prey, a possum, and it circles and comes in very quickly, not knowing that this animal also is fierce. And you see here the confrontation. Oh, it flies down. It flies down. And not knowing that, wow, the prey is not a, what we said, a sitting duck, but quite fierce, you know. It didn't know that this prey would be so formidable. And here it says in verse 28, concerning the eagle, she dwelleth and abide on the rock and upon the crack of the rock and the strong place. So it's able to build its nest in a place of safety, high up upon the rock. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. So this is what we are talking about. Look at the prey, and God gives it the special eyes that is able to spot the prey, that is able to come and attack. And here it says in verse 29, from thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. How they know where to get their food. God gave them those instincts. And God is the one, right, who tells us from this text. God himself is speaking. He's telling us how he has created these creatures and how they are programmed in their DNA to behave and act in a certain way. And God is able to articulate their peculiar characteristics to help us to see that indeed the invisible God is the creator, and how he takes care of all this, his creatures. But for you, men, made in the image of God, the Lord is saying to you that you are even more precious. You are even more valuable. You are the apple of his eye, the prized possession of God, because you are made in his very image. And God wants you to know, and God wants us to see and learn concerning who he is. And here is given to us the sighting of the eagle, how it's under the command of God. You know, there are those men who train eagles, train wild birds. They put a artificial protection on their hand, and how, you know, it would give certain commands for the bird to fly and to come back again. And we thought that we have some wisdom to handle all these things. But God said to Job that I'm the one who built all this, make all this, you know. And wanting Job to understand who God is, that he is the possessor of all things. the giver of life and the restorer of life and the one who cares, undertakes to care for his creation. And if he were to care for his creation, like the ox which we saw, the wild ass that we saw, that runs in the wild, and you know how they are fed. So if you take a walk in the forest trail, you see, wow, there are lots of different types of fruit trees that are there, you know, for food, for the animals. You look at the banana plant. The banana plant, once it is fruiting, one branch or one bunch of banana, you see maybe 100 of it coming out, growing itself. And how it's able to feed and provide food for the animals that roams around in the wild. And God is saying, when he cited all these examples, that he is also the one who takes care of us. And we are more precious than many animals. Jesus says, even the hair in your head are numbered. And what God wanted to drive to Job, to help him to see, is that he is the one who cares for him. He is the one who has wonderfully and fearfully made him in his image for his glory and honor, to enjoy and appreciate God's great care for him. And that we would be humbled to give him all honor and glory. And to not say to him, oh, why you allow me to go through this affliction? Why you allow me to be like that and not like this? Isn't it very common? Right? And Job, when he was given this affliction, was the greatest of all afflictions. He lost practically everything that he has. To help us to learn and see that God knows what we are going through. God knows what you are going through. He will not send something that you cannot handle. As he cares for his creation, he cares much more for you. That is what God is saying to Job when he cited all this of his creation, from the sea creatures to the land creatures to the air creatures. And God wants us to know that he makes no mistakes. Whatever happens to us, we may think in our finite mind that we are shortchanged. It shouldn't happen to us. Why me? Well, God said to Job that he was in the trial. Job didn't see the conversation in heaven between Satan and God himself. God said to Satan, this is my servant Job. This is he whom I loved, and this is he who served me. And because he served me, I know that he's a true man. But Satan says, you think so? If I afflict him, he would crumble and give up. God said, is that so? And so God allowed Job to be tried. So he was not aware of the spiritual goings on in the high places that was taking place. But what played out in all this was his affliction. Suddenly, disaster came into his life. Tragedy plagued him. But God is saying to Job that he is still on the throne. He's still in charge. He's still there, superintending over your life. Do you know that? Can you see that? God wants us to see that and pray that we would subsist under him in the time of our affliction, to know that he makes no mistakes. He's working out his good plan, and we trust him. Whatever that comes, that he knows best. And when we have such a mindset, we have peace amidst our afflictions. That's the lesson of Job for us, so that we may know that because God loved us, and that because we loved him, he allowed us to go through afflictions to prove our faith. May we stand the test. May we be triumphant, trusting the Lord in the times of our affliction, learning from Job a good lesson of faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. May thou strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit to understand thy holy word and the lesson for Job, the lesson that thou hast for us during the time of our afflictions. May thou strengthen us, comfort us, and help us to continue looking to thee for grace and strength. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.